Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
407, happy Wednesday. Join us this Friday at the Hardee's down south, Butler Hill Road. We'll all be there, be doing the show live in front of you, and be selling our hats and our stickers and our campaign 2020 DGS campaign buttons. Come on out, watch us do the show, interact, get some great food, and give to Operation Food Search. You guys have averaged $10,000 per week, going for $100,000, so we're going to need some big donations coming in. So I'm really hoping we have more companies and businesses, charitable organizations, pardon me, out there listening than any other radio show has ever had. So I'm hoping when you write your big checks, you will consider this year going to Operation Food Search. Before Rach does the headlines, a couple of stories here. Devin Nunez is suing CNN for $453 million. It's nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
George Zimmerman, Rachel's cousin, is suing Trayvon Martin's family for $100 million for ruining his life and telling lies about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a real move these days. Sue someone for hundreds of millions of dollars, and maybe they'll settle for a few million or a few hundred thousand. That really seems to be the move.
Do you think Trayvon Martin's family has $100 million?
No, but I'm just wondering where he thinks he's going to get it.
I think this is fascinating. So the lawyer is a guy named Larry Klayman. He is the founder of Judicial Watch, which is a fairly well-known conservative legal rights group. So he's the guy representing him. George Martin claims that Trayvon Martin's family, quote, have worked in concert to deprive Zimmerman of his constitutional and other legal rights. That the Trayvon Martin's family has somehow taken away George Zimmerman's legal rights. I don't understand. I don't even know how this is a thing. I don't even know how they could do that. I get defamation, but I don't see how they could have taken away. They could have deprived him of his constitutional rights.
I'm sorry. Didn't George Zimmerman do like a bunch of celebrity boxing matches? And so he's done nothing but capitalize on the situation.
For sure.
I'm sorry. I have zero sympathy for you, George. And I just want the record to show he's not actually my cousin.
Sorry.
You're pretty deadpan about that one, G.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of all of this, obviously. And I'm sure this lawyer is a way better lawyer than I ever was. But when you have an incident where you shoot someone dead and then it goes to trial, and you are acquitted, like, I don't know that you can really complain about the allegations. You shot someone dead. And when the facts all came out and the witnesses and such, they found in your favor.
Yep.
And okay. And then if after that, the family, I'm guessing, kept saying, like Michael Brown's family continue to this day, that, nope, it was murder. I don't know. I wouldn't like it. If I were him, but I'm not, I don't see a $100 million lawsuit.
Yeah, the lawsuit accuses them of...
And like Rach said, you're celebrity boxing Danny Bonaducci.
Right.
I'm not sure how much damage to your reputation can be done.
Yeah, because nobody knew who you were.
He did a bunch of
happened.
Other crazy stuff after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, because he was broke and he was trying to cash in on this.
He says
the Martin family engineered false testimony.
Well, here's what they're talking about. I can't remember her name. It's like Jewel or Diamond or something like that. Remember her? She was the very large.
Her name was Rachel something.
Was it? But she had a name like that. And she was supposed to be the girlfriend
star witness.
Who he was talking to on the phone. Remember, she was really big and had bangs, and she was really, really crappy.
You had to drag everything out
of her. She was really just like, bleh.
Uh-huh.
Well, it came out that it was a completely different human being. Like, that was not the diamond. The diamond was a different woman that they found later. There's a whole special on Netflix about it. But the bottom line that seems to be undisputed is that the one that we saw had no knowledge of the case, which is terrible, and she should be in jail.
Yeah.
So Rachel Jeantel was the key witness. She was standing in for another teenager, Brittany Diamond Eugene.
There you go.
So, which was actually Rachel's half-sister who did not want to testify in the case,
but she,
which is insane.
Known, but it wasn't known to the court that she was standing in.
No.
She was pretending she was,
can
to
you
be.
Stand in as a witness? You can't pinch hit a witness.
But if you're found not guilty, if it didn't work and you're found out guilty anyway,
but that,
then it
if
didn't
he would
work,
have been found guilty.
Then, of course.
He would. It would.
Of course.
It would be a whole new trial.
Yeah, of course.
Which it should be.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No diggity. Yeah, this is I couldn't believe it when I read this, and it also also brought back memories of white Latino. Remember that? The media was because it was an unarmed black kid, and they didn't want to say Latino. They always have to do the background, so they were doing white Latino, and everybody was like,
"What's that?"
That's the first time we've heard that.
Yeah,
because they so desperately wanted it to be white. You know,
what year was that?
I think it was 2013 because that was shortly after I think the trial was 2013 though, because I remember watching it on my night shift when I first started at 97.1.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Headlines, Rach.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. And the big headline at Schnucks this week, earn points on everything for those big holiday meals with the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it today. So there's been some drama going on during the NATO summit. We haven't talked about that at all with everything going on in the House Judiciary Committee. But, you know, all these politicians were gossiping about Trump and a lip reader was able to tell what they said. And then later, Trump's talking to the press and says this about Justin Trudeau.
Well, he's two-faced. And honestly, with Trudeau, he's a nice guy. I find him to be a very nice guy.
Such a Trump comment. Like, he's two-faced. But he's nice. Like, he immediately backtracked on it.
That part of Trump... because I give Trump crap all the time. That part of Trump I like. Because Justin Trudeau is two-faced.
Yep.
And he did get caught talking crap.
Yep.
We all talk crap. We all do it. Did you see what he's complaining? Like, that was an unauthorized filming. Okay. You still did it.
Right.
You know?
You are a politician.
I mean...
was it an unauthorized photograph whenever you did all that blackface? Is that your defense, Justin?
Ouch. Rachel Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
No, President makes fun of people a lot. Kind of mocks people. Makes fun of people.
Yeah, I don't think what
he's
he
mad
said,
about them doing it to him. I mean, I get it. I agree with you. I love that he called him out.
Yeah.
And I love, but
yeah, Obama would have never said that.
Don't act like
I like that he said it.
I do too. But don't act like your feelings are hurt and that this is somehow.
He was just making fun of the fact that he.
Yeah, this is somehow
is an attention
above
whore and
above the behavior for world leaders when you do the same.
Oh my gosh, do you guys remember whenever Obama was at a campaign rally when he was running against McCain and he like did the whole middle finger on his face? That was so tacky. I remember being very upset by that at the time. Now look
did
where
people
we are.
Complained?
No, I thought it was he was like intentionally flipping off, but he was like stretching his finger on his face. Do you remember that? Maybe it's like a deep fake or something.
I remembered what you're talking about,
it
but
was
I don't
classless.
Remember the facts. Yeah.
It was not cool. But now that's just like kind of par for the course. There's like a little crowd of people huddled around talking about Trump. Then he's like, well, he's two-faced. Well, he's actually nice. I don't know. It's a lot of drama going on at NATO. I saw this on Vanity Fair. Some people are saying that Trump is really mad at Rudy Giuliani about the insurance comment. I have insurance in case anything goes bad with Trump. And he has been told to stop going on Fox News. A source at Fox said, yeah, he's actually turned us down the past couple times we've asked him to be on
the
program.
Do you know where Rudy is right now?
I don't.
He's in Ukraine.
What's he doing?
Interviewing witnesses. Doesn't seem like the smartest thing to be doing, but that's where he is.
Hey, you gotta hand it to him. He goes his own way.
He's going down
he
with
does.
The ship.
That comment, the insurance comment, Rudy has come out and said it was a joke, And when I first read that that's what he said, I was like, okay.
It's one of those non-joke jokes.
But then when he, I saw him explaining it, and he said, people say this to me all the time, that people say this to me all the time in his personal life, that the president's going to throw you under the bus at some point. And I always say, no, he won't. And besides, I have insurance. Ha ha ha. Like, I think I believe him. I think that's his that's his joke to people.
I can see Trump getting mad at it, though.
I can, too.
No, yeah, I can, too.
Because
but I'm
it would
saying,
be like if all of us had an inside joke.
Right.
But I said it to a national
magazine. No, I agree. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the president doesn't have grounds to be angry with him. But I also actually believe, in this case, I believe that Rudy, it truly is a joke that he didn't mean anything by. It's still dumb for him to say it on national TV. He should know that everything he says is going to be extremely
picked apart,
scrutinized. Right. You know, but I do think he was
something that I still don't know and have not had answered for me. Obviously, they're able to block Giuliani and Mick Mulvaney and Perry and all, you know, Bolton and all these guys from the House. If this goes to trial in the Senate, which I think it will, are they going to be compelled? I would think they would be compelled to testify.
I think so, too. I think they would, at that point, they would have to.
It's when it's going to get real.
Oh, is it going to get real?
Boy.
Michael Bloomberg has rolled out more than $57 million in TV ads in the first weeks of his campaign. He has spent more than President Trump's and all leading Democrats.
Do you guys think in this day and age of 24/7 media and social media and Twitter and Facebook and having $100 million to spend, does it even matter if he like physically reaches out to that many people in a diner anymore?
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it would.
I don't think so. Maybe for the optics.
Yeah,
of it.
For a few photo ops, you know. But
I don't know. Look at like Buttigieg. He's been working the Iowans hard, and it's paying off for him in the polls. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, he's having to say polls.
Trump kind of proved in 2016 that you don't have to run the old fashioned go to every city, do the train stops and do all that, and you could run a more, you know, social media 60,000 foot campaign, because he didn't have nearly, you know, like every other major presidential campaign that we have seen in modern history have massive amounts of paid and unpaid staffers in every city in the country. And he didn't do that, and he still won. So, and I think you did have to do that before, but now more than ever, you don't have to do that. You can touch people personally.
Yeah. By the way, Hillary weighed in today. She was on Howard Stern, and she said, I'm being deluged with requests to run. Mm-hmm. And then she had a coughing fit, and then she said, I'm not a lesbian. I actually like men.
That's
so
you're
all up to date.
Quite a statement.
Okay.
Do you still think she's going to run?
I do.
Okay. When do you think that'll happen?
Soon.
Okay.
It would have to happen soon.
It has to happen soon because the deadlines are. I think it's too late for Iowa and New Hampshire already.
She's going to tweet out on Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
I don't think Bloomberg is on Iowa or New Hampshire. I think he missed those deadlines. So those are all going to happen pretty quickly.
And for my final story, speaking of spending a bunch of money like Mike Bloomberg, Cyber Monday was the biggest shopping day in Amazon's history.
Whoa, that's a big statement.
Looks like they were up $9.2 billion in sales.
What do you guys think of the allegation against Amazon, like being abusive to people and they work too hard and they don't get this and they work in a cage and...
I think it doesn't matter because they come in and they run small businesses out of business and they take away your options. So they're taking over and workers can complain as much as they want, but they also still keep showing up and collecting the paycheck. And I can be disgusted about it as much as I want, but I still got 4 Amazon packages today. They have created a place for themselves in the market. They've made themselves so convenient that I think... a blind eye is going to be turned for quite a while.
I can top you on that. I feel bad about myself because I am solidly with Hong Kong against China, but I don't want my 401k to go down. You know, like yesterday when Trump said something about, I might put China off and signing this thing saying we're behind Hong Kong and everyone's 401k went down. I truly feel badly about myself because I should care more about the human beings in Hong Kong than my investments. But when I'm honest, I'm like, just make a deal with China for the love of God. Get this done.
I get it.
I
feel ya.
I just looked up how many people work for Amazon, according to Google.
12.
566,000.
Oh, my Lord.
And then I Googled how many people work for Target. 350,000.
Damn.
So more people work for Amazon than work for Target, so it's not...
I heard a statistic
today. I mean, again, those are two Google searches done in 20 seconds.
Wow. I know
there's probably a lot of variables.
I know
that
I've been doing
there.
A lot of harshing on people on welfare, but there are 7 million open unfilled jobs right now.
7 million.
Seven million unfilled jobs.
There are more jobs than there are people on. I think there's more jobs than there are.
Every single person.
Yep.
Could have a job.
Yep.
Now, it may not be your dream job, but when the economy's like this, I see very little excuse.
Agreed.
And I don't know why we're not tougher on people that...
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I just went to the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror and realized I am dressed exactly like a henchman from a Kojak episode. Mm. Right?
Well, I...
Is that what you were going for?
No.
Oh.
Now I'm wearing a black turtleneck, a black vest, a black beanie, dark jeans, and black boots.
That had not occurred to me.
I'm Kevin Costner and Mr. Brooks. I'm like heading out to kill people.
Black on black.
Yeah, I'm going to pull some stuff tonight. I don't know what kind of shenanigans I'm getting into, but you're not going to see me coming.
No, definitely not.
Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Don't try to go through the TSA checkpoint.
Right?
Just like that.
I look like trouble. I'm coming to collect a debt. You better have all my money.
The repo man.
The world's worst villain. Today we have another like half a day of niceness, right?
Yeah, you know, tomorrow's still a good day, even though clouds will be on the increase. We're looking at a high of 55 degrees. Couple of little light spotty rain showers tomorrow evening. St. Louis South, it's no big deal. Then Friday, Saturday, most of Sunday are okay with temperatures in the 40s. A lot of sunshine Friday and Saturday. A little more on the way of cloudiness Sunday. Some more rain showers. And again, not a lot of rain Sunday night and into Monday, but still on track. We were talking about this yesterday, and everybody's starting to get on board with this thing, that a lot of cold air will be coming down from the north, middle to end of next week. So it's something we have to watch. And obviously, if we're getting colder, we have to see where the moisture's coming from. And we'll go from there.
Cool. Can I beat a dead horse?
Yeah, please.
Sure.
It's pretty dead.
Okay.
One more time.
Is it the mini horse again?
Oh, no.
No.
No. No.
I was thinking the same
thing.
No, no, no.
I don't want to do that one again.
No.
Is it the booger thing?
No.
Oh,
okay.
No. You're fine as long as it's not the miniature horse or a booger.
Yep.
What if Wiggins rubbed a booger on a miniature horse?
I'd have to walk out.
Yeah, we'd all have to quit.
Did you know there's a town called Wiggins in Colorado?
Do they all look like Wiggins?
There really is.
Wouldn't it be great? Like, remember a tone when Squidward went to Squidville?
Mm-hmm. And they do
just a whole bunch of Wiggins.
It was his paradise.
Going to eat at the diner and rubbing boogers under the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I have a real question.
Okay.
You can call me, you can tweet me, you can tell me if you're in the studio... We went over the whole okay boomer thing, over it, whatever, fine. But Rach, someone posted and said that I had missed the whole point. That it's not so much about the crappy clapback, it's the fact that boomers had ruined things for everyone else. Maybe I just don't know enough, maybe I don't read The Economist enough, but in what way did the baby boomer generation ruin things for millennials? Because that was the guy's argument. I've heard it before that millennials can't find good jobs. The wages are terrible. The prospects are bad. They're not going to be able to buy houses. Is that true?
That was never my understanding of it. I was always just thought it was, like you said, a clapback.
I think that a lot of millennials believe that the boomer generation ruined things for them.
You know, if somebody says, you know, you just don't know what it's like, you got to get out there and pull yourself up by the bootstraps and work. And I remember what it's like to be young. Okay, boomer. Like, that's always been my understanding of that whole, the whole term.
Breaks, not, do you know what I'm talking about?
Not okay, boomer. You've ruined the planet.
I don't even know if it was Tim on Facebook.
But I've heard a lot of people say this.
Yeah, definitely. He was saying that because of the fact that boomers chased higher yield investments that led to companies downsizing, cutting pensions for the bottom line. So things just weren't the same way. Things aren't the same way now as they were then. Millennials don't buy homes as much. It's more of a pipe dream. So he's basically saying, it's not saying like, snarky, okay, boomer. It's more of a response to let them eat cake.
And again,
I don't get that. I don't,
maybe I'm wrong.
I know a lot of millennials. And it's because my son is in the tail end of that. And everyone that I know has got a great job making solid money. They have families, they have houses. And these are kids that haven't come from wealth. They've had to do the work. They've had to hustle through school. They all have student loans, but they're all doing great.
Yeah, to me, the economy changes with every generation. What my grandpa was facing was completely different than what my dad faced, completely different than what I'm facing, completely different than Nick. You know, there aren't like, my dad's World War II generation, most people, at least men, who came back and wanted a job at a refinery or the box board or the Olin, they got it. And they made a good wage and they got a pension and they're in the union and they're able to support their families.
I agree with you that the economy changes with every generation. But it's like I said the other day, for years it was stupid millennials are just all lazy pieces of crap. So it's like you can't sit back on that and say, hey, the economy's just different now, then give us the slack of the economy being different now. You know what I mean? But I agree with Dave. I know plenty of people my age who are doing well and who have success.
But is the economy that much worse?
Well, and I also never thought, I mean, we're changing the argument now. Like, if we're still talking about the term, okay, boomer, that's not what.
No.
I think leave that behind, though. Let's forget about okay, boomer. Okay. Yeah. Let's just focus on millennials saying that they don't have the opportunities.
I mean, we just talked about how low unemployment is and how many jobs are available. More than people.
Did you invite Andrew in?
Yeah.
So, is he refusing?
He says, I don't want to make anybody mad.
Is it because of the boogers?
Well, that'd be understandable.
You,
I sent Andrew out and tried to have him find police tape. But evidently we used it all on Halloween.
Can I say one more thing about
that's
OK
really
Boomer?
Funny.
Of course.
I think that you can make all the points you want about the economy and we can have that argument and you can even mean it. You could mean it that way when you say, okay, boomer. It doesn't take away from the fact that it is rude and demeaning.
Yeah.
So whether or not you think that group of people, oh, they deserve it, oh, they can take it. Yeah, but it's rude at its core and it is humiliating and demeaning. So if you
totally
don't want to be a jerk, don't say
totally
that.
Totally agree. But I'm more interested in the reality of do people in their 20s and early 30s really think that they don't have the chance that I did or that Dave Murray did?
I think that a lot of people do. I think that a lot of people think that the proof is in the pudding. Now, I don't have exact numbers either, but the proof is in the pudding that things are not exactly like they used to be. You can't go and do, you know, you can't go work 40 years at the mill and, you know, retire when you're 60 reliably. That's not a reliable thing anymore. That's not a reliable pipe dream. You can't. You know, there was the housing crisis crash, and now you can't just go buy a house. You know what I mean? You can't just buy a house when you're 30. Reliably, you can't.
I just sold a millennial couple's house and helped them buy a new one.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
And the interest rates are like three.
Why is it harder,
I mean, really
though?
Low.
They're great.
Yeah.
What makes it harder?
That's an excellent question. I don't actually know what makes it harder.
I think there is a slowness because of the recession of 2008, and though the millennials lived through that, much like people lived through the depression, I think that sits in the back of their mind that everything could go to hell in a handbasket very quickly.
Dave.
And I have to be very, very careful about this. And now that's not to say the boomers didn't go through that recession either. Right? That had a tremendous effect on that generation.
Ross on line one says millennials thought they'd be young and rich and they got stuck with debt and now they're mad. I think there is some truth to that. My generation was also told if you go get a bachelor's degree, like so many people went and took out all these loans and went and got a bachelor of arts or whatever and thought, oh, I'll go blah, 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 and I'll make $60,000 a year. And then that didn't happen because there aren't that type of job. There's not that many types of that job out there. Now, that's a poor decision on your part. If you want to be like a sculptor for a living, you're not guaranteed to make a good living doing that. But I think that a lot of people were told if you graduate from college, you are set.
Also,
and then
you know,
that doesn't happen.
I don't know, and I could be wrong, but I just don't sense that things are that different than they were when I came out of college in 1987. That if I would, you know, numbers are different, obviously, but I just don't feel like it's that much different.
You know, you mentioned all these 7 million jobs. Are these jobs that people can live off of? Are they 4 hours a week jobs at Walmart, or are they jobs that are, you know, you can have health insurance and you can have, you know, enough to pay for you and your kids and enough to buy a house? There just aren't that many of those jobs
available.
But you
and I keep having the same argument. It's your job to go find that job.
But there aren't that many of those jobs
available. If there's one, you can get it.
You know, Tim used an interesting phrase on the Facebook. He said, let them eat cake. And I think a lot of millennials are sick of what they feel like are people older than them giving them with that let them eat cake stuff. They say, you know, I can't afford all this medical debt I'm in. And then they are told, just go get a better job. Well, there's really not those better jobs out there.
Based on what? What are you basing that on?
Based on the fact that I don't have one. Have you tried? I have. If the better jobs were out there,
Wait, the higher paying jobs were out there.
I have an awesome job. I love my job. I love everything about my job, but I wish I had more money like everyone does. And if those jobs were out there that were, you could easily get a job that pays you 80 grand a year or whatever.
Nothing's easy.
Everyone would. Yeah, if the job was out there that would pay you 80 grand a year, everyone would have that.
No, that's not true. That's absolutely not true.
Employees are looking for people.
And in every generation, there are going to be crap jobs. They're going to be normal guy jobs. They're going to be professional jobs like doctors and lawyers and architects. They're going to be rich guy jobs. That's every generation. And I'm the biggest guy saying, hey, you're not special. You're probably not going to be president. You're probably not going to be a professional singer. You have your level of talent and intelligence and drive, and that's as far as you can go. So I'm not Mr. Pie in the Sky. But I do believe that if you are reasonably intelligent and driven, you can get those jobs. And if you don't, I blame you and not the world.
But look at our profession, for example. Look at what I am qualified to do. Those jobs just don't pay like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's why you advance and get a better job within the industry.
But even those don't pay.
But what about like Sue does traffic. She does a traffic split shift, but she also sells real estate because she wasn't content with.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much she makes here, but she has a second gig and I don't think she does it for fun. I think she does it because she wants to make extra income.
But you're in a really fun, great job.
Yes, I love my job.
But you're not guaranteed to make really good money in a great, fun job. You might have to go do a job that isn't so great and fun. So what I'm hearing you say is, I want to be a radio producer, but I also want them to pay me 80 grand a year.
I'm not even talking about myself. I'm talking about the greater generation of millennials. I'm speaking for millennials here. I'm not even necessarily speaking for myself. I don't want a different job. I'm happy with what I do. But I'm speaking for, you know, you were talking about this greater feeling that millennials feel, and that's kind of what I'm breaking down. I'm breaking down that a lot of people, especially people that, like we talked about, just got out of college and they are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and they're just not able to find, no matter what their career is, sometimes they could be accountants, they're not able to find a job reliably that's going to pay them very well. I think wages are probably lower now, you would find, than most other times throughout history. Job security is a lot less of a thing.
I don't know. I'm not sold. I just think that there are people who, I don't think people should expect to come out of college and make 80 grand. Some people do.
I don't know if anybody does either. I think it's
They do, but it's probably pretty rare. But there's nothing wrong with coming out of college and making 50 grand and then making 80 and then making 120. That's the way it is supposed to go. But to do that, you have to work really hard. You have to make yourself special. And if you don't, there's no one to blame but you.
But I think a lot of millennials just aren't finding that that advancement even comes. They might get the entry-level job, and then no matter how
it's
hard
happening
they try
for some
or
of
how
them,
much they work, it's happening for some.
So
but
what makes them different from the rest of the pack?
I think that they feel like it happened more with previous generations.
I don't know. Tony, what do you think of this?
I feel like that point right there, that it does happen for some and it doesn't happen for all. I don't know that the percentage of how many people in my generation were able to, Generation X, find that job, and how many people were stuck either not being able to find a job or deep in debt. I think those percentages are probably pretty close to the same. I don't think it's changed a whole lot. But for some reason, the attention is a lot more on the millennials going through that. I mean, I did it. I bought a house that I couldn't afford and had roommates leave after I got married and had a kid, and I couldn't afford the house anymore. And I had credit cards that got canceled and had massive interest rates going up and the bill collectors calling all the time and the lights being turned off and the cable being turned off. And I never thought to myself, like, this is
bullcrap.
Yeah, like, look, this is everybody's fault. This is what my generation is going through. No, it was just, I did a lot of really dumb stuff.
Tons of people calling in. Quick break. We'll take your calls after this. Welcome back, guys. DGS. I truly love the discussions we have here in the show. People very passionate about it online and calling in. Sandra, we'll have time for you. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave. You guys have been discussing this a lot lately, and I feel that every time you guys bring it up, I'm compelled to give you guys a call and talk this out. And maybe it's because we're limited to what we see here in St. Louis. But, you know, I'm 34, so I'm kind of in between the generations here. I tend to side with Rachel and see her point of view quite a bit. But, you know, it makes me concerned whenever I keep hearing, well, there is nothing better. There is no room for advancement in life in general. To me, it just seems like people are maybe limiting themselves and saying, well, because I can't get a better advancement in radio doing a job that's fun and that I love, the restaurants around St. Louis can't keep enough servers on staff. You know, you have labor unions in the area that are practically begging people off the streets to come work. So I'm having a hard time understanding that mindset that there's nothing better and people can't advance.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling in and saying that they're in the trades and that we'll take you, we'll teach you to be a welder or a bricklayer, and you will make a very good living wage that you can raise a family on.
We know a lot of advertisers on this station that are in the trades, deck building and plumbing and all the, and they're looking for people. And, you know, and the other thing that the other argument that I don't like that is that you hear more and more now is, well, there's jobs available, but can you raise your whole family on all of those jobs? No, that's not every job is that. I've talked about this before. My first full-time job in radio, full-time radio job, insurance and everything, was in 1999 when I went from part-time to full-time. And it was, my salary was $18,500. I couldn't raise a family. But it was a full-time job in the industry that I wanted to go into. And I also didn't think, the thought never crossed my mind that, oh, I finally got a full-time air shift. I have health insurance and everything now.
Time to have kids.
Yeah, but, oh, But this is not fair, because what if I have two kids and get married and my wife doesn't have a job? How are we going to afford a house? Like, that never crossed my mind. I knew that this is where I was starting, and now we can try to grow it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.